It's time for Gene Shepherd, author, raconteur, and commentator of the contemporary scene. Here's Gene.
Detroit has a thing in the works here. Do you know that they're beginning to name their cars in the late days of the 70s? They say that the cars are going to be named after ancient Greek gods. You know, for a while we went through the animal bit. You've got a cougar, right? You know, we went through the... You know, they ignored some really interesting animals. Can't you just see the Olds badger, the Olds groundhog? I've known a few that acted like that. However, they are going to name cars after great characters out of mythology. For example, the Osiris II. That'd be an exciting car. The Osiris II. You know who Osiris was, right? How about the Ra 270 SS? Well, you know, I mean, we're rapidly switching to paganism here in this country. Why not, you know? It's not really paganism. It's multi-theism, really. It's a polytheism, polytheism. And how about the Sharonmobile? 8 SS. Sports sedan. Just, you know, these are all... this is all in the works. And by the way, speaking of the works, I just got back from a fantastic trip which I took to parts of the country that are never seen, even on Charles Kuralt. Parts of the country that just don't get on television. And it was done as a bicentennial assignment for a magazine that I write for, namely Car and Driver. And the trip includes the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Now, you have never seen a canon episode set in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which, by the way, is called to the people of Michigan, it's called the UP. About the first three times you hear somebody say, he's up in the UP, you figure, you know, somebody's got a job with a wire service. But actually, the UP is the Upper Peninsula up there, and up through the Straits of Mackinac, through exotic parts of the world as Sault Ste. Marie, Mackinac City. That's a great... You know that the Mackinac, of course, you know the term Mackinac. What do you think the Mackinac is named after? What? An Indian. Yeah, but the jacket. I mean, yeah, have you ever heard of a Mackinac jacket? All right. It's named after that town. They made them there. And they made them for the lumbermen. That's big lumber country. See, and they made them. It was especially made for lumbermen, and it was called the Mackinac or the Mackinaw jacket. And now it's become a generic term. You see, it's like if you turned out a tennis shoe called the Trenton tennis shoe. You know, made for people who couldn't play anything. Well, actually, yes, and eventually they begin to use the term as a generic term, like Trenton. He's wearing a Trenton. You know, and eventually they would forget even about the town of Trenton. And then later on, people would be surprised. You mean Trenton had something to do with those terrible shoes? You'd say, yes, that's true. But as you go on up through the northern straits of Michigan, up where Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, and Lake Huron all come together, that is some of the wildest, spectacular, meanest, exciting country in America up there. And it just a phrase, you know, just say it to you. I'm going to the Straits of Mackinac. I mean, that sounds like I'm going to spend 2 weeks in El Guitar. Or I'm taking my 2 weeks in Khartoum this year. You and General Gordon. Probably the same thing happened to you there that happened to Gordon. But nevertheless, you know what happened to General Gordon, don't you? Well, you remember. That was an earlier incarnation of Charles Heston. Charlton Heston. Oh, yes, that Gordon, of course. That was Charlton Heston in an earlier life. That was before he discovered earthquakes and all that stuff. And he was involved in other kinds of catastrophes. But nevertheless, I went up through the straits. I just got back, you see. I'm still full of it. Went up through the Straits of Mackinac, through the Upper Peninsula, through the North Woods of Wisconsin. By the way, one thing I might tell you about the North Woods of Wisconsin. Do you know that at one point, the Northern Woods of Wisconsin were the Chicago gangsters' playground? That's where they took their vacations. You know, you got to realize that the average gang leader, I'm talking about the real outlaw gangs. I'm not talking about the mafia, which is a different thing. I'm talking about the Bonnie and Clyde types, the Dillinger types, and Pretty Boy Floyd and these guys. They're typical lower middle class people, and they would take 2 weeks off from their regular vacation. They take 2 weeks off from knocking over banks. And where did they go? Well, Upper Wisconsin. And in fact, there was a famous incident with Dillinger where he shot it out with the feds at a resort in the Wisconsin woods. And by the way, that resort is one of the great tourist attractions. His cabin is still there with the bullet holes all over the cabinets and stuff like that. It was this window that Pretty Boy Floyd went out of during the big hullabaloo, and here's where Dillinger actually hid down here next to the refrigerator and shot it out with who was the great G-man? Come on. Melvin Purvis. Now, how's that for a great American name, Melvin Purvis? I mean, he sounds like a guy that comes right out of Keokuk, right? And Melvin Purvis was the great nemesis of John Dillinger. And they fought it out right there in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Well, then as you go straight across Wisconsin, if you got a map, take a look at it. You go straight across Wisconsin, all these great towns like Rhinelander. There's a lot of German people live up in that area. And the food is Germanic. It's a curious Germanic quality. The Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and Indians. It's a combination, if you can imagine, an unbelievable combination of Prussian German and Ojibwe Indian. You got the wild combination up there. And so as you drive up through that area, then you slowly sneak over into Wisconsin. You go through Wisconsin, rather, into Minnesota, northern Minnesota. Now, up in that area, there are great places like International Falls. Now, have you ever heard of International Falls? Well, the most that everybody hears about International Falls is that every year, that's the coldest spot in the nation. I was saying today's record low was International Falls, Minnesota, 120 below. Well, International Falls is rough. Their summer consists of a faint thaw. Just a suggestion of a thaw. Now, it doesn't actually thaw. It is very common for July 4th to be celebrated amid the snowdrifts in International Falls. And then as you drift down slowly south, skirting Minneapolis, and then head west out to the state of South Dakota, and it's a fantastic trip. And you see in America that you just don't ever see on television, and you hear things and feel things and smell things you just don't see on TV. And then I went out through that great area. Now let's give you a little quiz. You as a person living here in New York or Jersey, what do you think of South Dakota? Where is South Dakota? Well, all right. Now, just before you blat it off, is South Dakota in? Is it in the South? Is it in the Midwest? Is it in the West? Is it in the East? Well, everything is relative. To the Easterner tends to call Cincinnati the Midwest. Nothing could be further from the truth, buddy. The Cincinnati is as east to a person in the Midwest is, let's say, as the Grand Canyon is west to a guy living in Trenton. In short, I'm saying that our idea of geography is very curious here in the East. And do you know that the guys living in the South Dakota, amid great cattle ranches, wearing high-heeled cowboy boots and great 10-gallon hats, and driving pickup trucks covered with dust and with steer horns on the hoods. You know where they think they are? The Midwest. Yeah, they say the Midwest. It's eerie. And people in Chicago, of course, consider themselves in the Midwest. But they really don't. You see, in Chicago, they consider themselves as part of a thing called Chicagoland. Well, there is a point there. Don't laugh at it. Because you see, Chicago is really a larger city than New York. Yes. I'm talking about, in fact, de facto, rather than legal. In short, New York City has a larger population because New York, you see, includes all the boroughs and everything in it. New York City, it has Queens and it has Staten Island and so on. If Chicago included its boroughs, and they are truly boroughs of Chicago, that city would have probably 50 million people in it. It's a fact. Yeah, but Chicagoland. You begin to enter Chicagoland, roughly the center of Iowa. It's like one long, slowly developing city until eventually, when you're at the border of Iowa, when you're going into Illinois, you are well into Chicagoland. And anyway, nevertheless, that's considered Chicagoland by the people out there. When they talk about the Midwest, if you say to a guy in Chicago, "Hey, are you taking your vacation in the Midwest?" He'll say, "Yeah." That means he's going out to Western Iowa. He doesn't think of Chicago as that. And so he says, "Yeah, Chicagoland. That's what that is." But it was a fantastic trip. And if you really want to hear about a part of the country that most people just haven't visited, sure, a lot of people in that area have probably been up through the Straits of Mackinac and up through the northern Wisconsin area and through the Upper Peninsula and through a lot of other the areas that this trip covered. It's a commonplace, but to people, most Easterners, when they take a trip, they hurry to Miami, or, that's a trip. They will then, if they're really going to do it, they'll go out to Grand Canyon, and then they'll hurry out to Disneyland. And that's called the big trip. I sure seen America, but it's all fantasy and a yard wide. But when you get out into places like Council Bluffs, by the way, isn't that an exciting name? Council Bluffs. And it is that, by the way. It's an Indian country. And why do they call it Council Bluffs? That's a quiz. Council. What does council mean? It's a meeting, right? Well, what meeting was held there? What? The International Order of Moose met there? What? What is this? No, no, no. That's a lodge. Council Bluffs. What happened at Council Bluffs? Why is Starved Rock, Illinois, called Starved Rock? Who's starved there? And what rock is it? Oh, it's very intriguing. Why do they call the Fox River the Fox River? Were there foxes around there? No. No, nothing to do with foxes. I'll give you a clue. That was named after the Fox Indians, which is an Indian tribe. Yes, Fox, F-O-X. Correct. The Fox Indians. What happened at Spirit Lake? A great American, and it was an American, great American tragedy occurred at Spirit Lake. And where is Spirit Lake? You thought you knew something about your country, right? Okay, now, okay, all right, gang, all of you think you know everything. What, you say you don't know what happened at Spirit Lake. You don't even know where Spirit Lake is. That's sad. You know, I don't think we learn much history in our schools. I'm really very serious about it. I think we learn dates. I can remember endless dates being told to me. In fact, you had to memorize those damn dates. Ever since that time, I've had a mental block against dates, and I can't even remember what date it is on the day that I'm walking around. I mean, thanks to Miss Robinette. I mean, she had dates, I'll tell you. She had them tattooed on her ear. Dates. I could remember dates. Listen, I knew more about, for example, the Whiskey Rebellion. Quick, what dates? The War of the Roses. Quick. Henry V and all that. Agincourt. Quick. Dates. Dates. Let's get down to history. What does the word pipestone mean to you? Well, I'm going to give you a clue. The word, all right, I'll give you a clue. It is related to the word calumet. Now, what does the word calumet mean? Now, you see calumet baking powder? Is that what you think it means? Well, you don't think that. Well, what the hell do you think? What does calumet mean? What does the word calumet mean? It does not have anything to do with horses walking around. So you blew that one. Oh, you're talking about Whirlaway and all that, huh? Calumet Farms. Well, that's a nice try, man. I can see where your OTB head is. But let's get with reality here. What does the word calumet mean? All right, what does the word Chicago mean? It doesn't mean this big city where Mayor Daley walks around and yells. What does the word mean? All right, I'll give you a little information on that. Calumet, now, and they're closely connected, incidentally. I was born and raised in the Calumet region. Now, has it ever occurred to you that these states that we've got have names that have meanings? Why is Indiana called Indiana? Right. All them Indians, huh? Ah, you got that one. By George, your head is really working now. Okay. Why is Iowa called Iowa? You just think they figured, ah, it's a nice state. I think it's Iowa. That fits it. No way. What does Minnesota mean? Does it mean place where Swedes go? Minnesota. Well, it's related to the word Minnetonka. Minnetonka. The word that's key there is Minnie. What does Minnie mean? No, it does not. Not in the language we're speaking here. It's two N's. Minnetonka, Minnesota. Does the name Hiawatha mean anything to you? Where did Hiawatha operate? The land of the great still blue waters, correct? Okay, now you're coming along. Now let's talk about Calumet now. Let's get back to the thing. What does Calumet mean? It's related to pipestone. Okay. What does... Well, all right, I'll give you a clue on that. I'll give you the answer on that. Calumet is an Indian word which... It has many meanings, but the most common meaning relates to a ceremonial pipe, a calumet. It also, though, can be used as a word which describes a gathering of and a meeting of, like a peace gathering or a war gathering. But a calumet pipe, the pipe itself is a very, very deeply symbolic thing to the Indians who were here at the time of our bicentennial. And they were around doing their Indian thing at the time, too, remember. And the calumet was highly symbolic in their life. Now, why was it? Aha! Now we're getting into something. There was a reason for that. To begin with, it was a way of communing with the ancestors. In short, the smoke of tobacco was a carrier of messages to the spirit world. How do you like them apples, gang? And no, wait a minute now. There's a lot of logic involved in this. The actual pipe itself, however, was very, very important to the Indian. The bowl of the pipe, what was it made of? Correct, it was made of stone. But what kind of stone? Not just any stone, oh no. It was a specific type of stone. And the Indians had made of this stone and the area where this stone came from a deeply and totally religious place. Why that particular stone? Now, where is this place? How do you like that? You see, if you travel in America, to certain parts of America, you'll see things that most people just simply don't see. Now, as you go on up, what is a pasty? How do you like that one? You think it has to do with the Fifi La Boom Boom, huh? Right, and getting raided and all that stuff, and getting hauled away in a wagon. No, this is a pasty. It's, if you drive through a certain part of America, and all along the roads, you'll see big signs, pasty here, hot pasties. What is a pasty? In what part of the country is this found? Just like here, you know, when you drive up and down the streets of Jersey, any place, pizza everywhere you look, right? Well, this has the same universality in that part of the country, and it's a thing that you drive along and you stop and you get these pasties. What are they? And what nationality do they come from? That's interesting, because you see, the pizza is ostensibly Italian, right? Although they don't have much in the way of pizza in Italy. They have a lot of it around Lido Beach and places like, South Plainfield and so on. But you don't find much of it around Milan, though, I can tell you that, having been over there. They're fascinated, by the way. Many an Italian from Italy, you know, comes over here to try the pizza. What the pizza, of course, is the Italian word for pie. But pasty is what nationality? See, our country is made up of this fantastic crowd of nationalities. And they in a sense, kind of saturate the area where they are. Now, I'll ask you another question here that relates. What does the word Detroit mean? It does have a meaning. Yes, it does. No, it's not just a city. What is the word? What does it mean? I'll give you a few others of that type. Why is Dubuque called Dubuque? What was Dubuque? Who was Dubuque? Was that an early automobile? All right. There was a Dubuque, incidentally, in case you're curious. Speaking of what was Bay City, Michigan known for? All right, I'll give you a clue on that one. It was the city where the first American automobile was made. And what was it called? It was not the Ford. This was well before Mr. Ford got into the field. In fact, one of the reasons why Ford... All right. Why did Ford choose Detroit as his... You know, of course, he grew up in the area. But why was that area the area where all the automobiles were made in America? Why not, say, for argument's sake, Hattiesburg, Mississippi? Why not Queens? And did you know that there was at one time an automobile built in Queens? That is correct. What was the name of that automobile? In fact, this'll blow your geezer. Do you know that the car that was made in New York City, there was a car made in New York City within the city limits of New York that was such a fantastic automobile, it is now on display at the Smithsonian Institution as one of the great cars ever made. And what was it called? It had a hyphenated name. I'll give you that little hint there. The Bayless Murgatroyd, something like that. Well, but these are all part of America, you know. And if you go up into places like Detroit, and you move further north, you begin to see All right, let's take other towns. What was Gary named after? Gary, Indiana. You know, Gary, Indiana, you know that song, which, by the way, is the worst town to consider in a bucolic musical. Gary, Indiana is such a tough town that it makes Newark on a Saturday night look a little bit like Palm Beach. Oh, it's a tough town. Now, what is Gary, Indiana, though? Who is it named after? Who? You notice I said who? You don't know anything, do you guys? Not a damn thing. You don't even know how Chicago got its name. I suppose you don't even know that New York was... Where did it get its name? That's correct. It was named after an English town. It was New York, as opposed to Old York. Now, what about Gary? What about Chicago? I mean, I know this is all boring to all of you, but to me, it's intriguing. I don't know why it intrigues me, but it does. Let's take a town like Sioux City. You know, Sioux City, Sioux. Why did they call it Sioux City? Why? Did they just like that name? They say, hey, it's kind of a groovy name. We got this song named Sioux City Sioux. Why not name the town that way, huh? Why? Well, it should be pretty obvious. That was the area that was the headquarters, in fact, the chief homeland of the Sioux Indians. Sioux, you know, with the X. Sioux City Sioux. Now, what river was considered... By the early travelers, as they moved west, what river was considered the actual dividing line between the east and the west? No, not the Mississippi. You're wrong right there for starters. No. When you were traveling west and you reached this river, you knew that you had reached the west. And from here on in, you were in the west. And by the way, very dangerous territory. What was that river? Was it the Mississippi? No. No, there were a lot of big rivers that flowed out in that area. Was it the Minnesota River? There is a Minnesota, you know. Was it the, what was it? Was it the Snake River? No. No, no. What was that river? And where does it flow? And one of the reasons this river was considered that, to be the beginning of the West, was that it was the first river, really, to geologically speaking, was a Western river. which means, in fact, there's a term about this river that the old settlers used. They said it. What was the term? All right, they said it's. Too watery to plow and too thick to drink. The River Platte. Isn't that an exciting name? Can't you just see John Wayne plunging down through the River Platte on his horse with Montgomery Cliff behind him crying? Red River. Where is the Red River? Remember that great movie, Red River? Right. What town in Iowa is the big stockyards town? Which town is that? And I mean real stockyards, thousands of mooing Angus, angry bulls. America.
You've been listening to Gene Shepherd, author, raconteur, and commentator on a contemporary scene.